You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. Journey into a wondrous land of boundaries of data and imagination. That signpost up ahead, your next stop, Twilight Zone Commentaries. Hello, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone, The Commentaries. I am your host, Robert, or co-host of the Talking Twilight Zone group. And I want to wish everybody a happy holidays coming up. Today I will be reviewing from Rod Serling's Twilight Zone series, Night of the Meek. But first, let's hear a little bit from Mr. Serling.
And now, Mr. Serling.
This may look to you like any dismal, dark, and dingy alley that lies skulking off the million myriad shadow places off the main drags. Actually, it's the private domain of leprechauns and elves, and supplies the locale of Twilight Zone. With us for a very special occasion is Mr. Art Carney, who plays the role of a department store Santa Claus, and he plays it with the heart, the warmth, and the vast talent that is uniquely Carney. On the Twilight Zone, the Night of the Meek.
The commentary I'm going to be starting here, just to let everybody know that any views or expressed by myself is that of me and not necessarily of the Talking Twilight Zone group. So this is something that I wanted to do to fill in some of the empty spaces while the other hosts are on vacation here. But first, before start the commentary, a synopsis. It's Christmas Eve, and Henry Corwin, a down-and-out, wearing a worn-out Santa Claus suit, has just spent his last few dollars on six drinks at Jack's Place, the neighborhood bar. Bruce, the bartender, throws him out after spotting Corwin, now low on funds, reaching for the bottle. Arriving an hour late for his seasonal job as a department store Santa, the visibly drunk Corwin is soon fired by Mr. Dundee, the mean-spirited manager acting on a complaint from the rude customer who pushed her ill-behaved son to sit on Santa's lap. As Dundee orders him to leave the premises, Corwin pours out his heartache over living in a dirty rooming house on a street filled with hungry kids and shabby people, for whom he is unable to fulfill his desired role as Santa. He declares that if he had just one wish granted him on Christmas Eve, I'd like to see the meek inherit the earth. Still in his outfit, he returns to Jack's Place, but is refused re-entry by Bruce, who explains to the inebriated patrons that Santa's a lush. Stumbling aimlessly into an alley, he hears sleigh bells and trips over a large burlap bag overfilled with packages which seem to have the ability to produce any item that asked of it. With the spirit of Christmas, Corwin proceeds to hand out gift-wrapped presents to passerbys, and then entering Sister Florence Delancey Street Mission House to derelict men attending the Christmas Eve service. Irritated at this interruption, Sister Florence goes outside to fetch Officer Flannery, proceeds to arrest Corwin for apparently stealing merchandise from his former place of employment. Flannery then contacts Mr. Dundee, who arrives at the police station exclaiming, "Aha, here he is, and here we are, and there that is," calling Corwin a moth-eaten Robin Hood. Dundee reaches into the garbage bag to display some of the purported wholesale theft of thousands of dollars worth of goods, but all he manages to pull out are a couple empty cans and a meowing stray cat as Corwin tries to explain that the bag doesn't know whether to give out gifts or garbage. Realizing he can't hold Corwin for possession of garbage, Flannery tells him over Dundee's objection that he can leave. As Flannery murmurs to Dundee that we're dealing with the supernatural here, Corwin reaches into the bag and gives Dundee the Christmas present that he sarcastically challenged Corwin to produce, a bottle of cherry brandy, vintage 1903. Leaving the precinct, he continues to hand out gifts for the remainder of the evening until the bag is empty. Bert An elderly local resident who has already received a couple of Corwin's presents points out that Corwin has taken not a thing for himself. Corwin replies that his only wish is to do this every year. Returning to the alley where he found the bag, he encounters a young female elf, sleigh, and four reindeers waiting to take him to his destiny as the eternal Santa Claus. Emerging from the precinct, Flanty and Dundee, now slightly tipsy from sampling the brandy, hears the tinkle of bells and confirms to each other that they have indeed just seen Henry Corwin in a sleigh with reindeers and an elf ascend into the night sky on Christmas Eve. Dundee invites Flanty to accompany him home and share some hot coffee and more brandy, adding that we thank God for miracles. So with that, we'll go ahead and start the recording. Make sure you have your Twilight Zone DVD, or if you have the Time Life VHS copy of Twilight Zone, make sure you go past the intro before the music starts. So get ready in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, press play. Now we get to hear Rod doing the introduction here. And it looks like we're starting out in a department store here. All the hustle and bustle going around in anticipation for St. Nick to sit in his chair and to ask the kids what they want for Christmas. This is from Season 2. It's Episode 47. Original air date for this was December 23rd, 1960.
He told me to tell you when it was 6:30. 6:30. That's right. Exactly 6:30.
The drunk Santa's losing track of time here. Aw, look at those cute little kids looking inside at Santa. I remember watching this episode when I was a kid myself, how, why I liked this, episode. Of course, I give it a good, is because I could do better than this guy who plays Santa Claus does. I think it's interesting that Arnt Carney, who is the store Santa, is only in this Twilight Zone episode. Words of wisdom from the bartender. Well, he's a mean bartender. He thought bartenders were sympathetic to people. I guess that's only if they got money.
Hello, Jack's place. No, Jack's not here. This is Bruce. Wait a minute. Santa Claus, I get you trying that one more time. I'm going to break both your arms up to the shoulder blades. Now go on, get out of here.
Uh-oh, Santa tried to steal a drink.
No, it's just Santa Claus trying to heist the joint.
Thank you. you know, it's kind of interesting, and why the episode feels kind of different is the way it was filmed. Some of the films were videotaped and transferred to 16mm film for TV transmission. During season 2, they broadcast 5 episodes and finished filming 16. However, at a cost of about $65,000 per episode, the show was exceeding its budget. As a result, 6 consecutive episodes, as I said, were videotaped. Total saving on editing and cinematography cost amounted to only about $30,000 for all 6 entries. This is one of the ones. And here's Rod giving his opening. But in just a moment, Mr. Henry Corwin, ersatz Santa Claus, will enter a strange kind of North Pole, which is one part the wondrous spirit of Christmas, and one part the magic that can only be found in the twilight zone. Well, now we're back at the department store after Rod's opening narration there. Oh, that's cool. I remember when I was a kid and I had a train track and trains. That's a nice little set there. Well, getting back to what I was talking about, said it wasn't enough to justify the loss of depth of visual perspective, which gave these shows an apparent akin to that of stage-bound live TV dramas or even soap operas. This was an experiment that they were trying, and it was deemed a failure and never attempted again. The other ones that they filmed this way, as they did with Night of the Meek, was The Lateness of the Hour, Static, The Whole Truth, 22, and Long Distance Call. You know, it's almost like watching a Playhouse 90. Uh-oh. The smart kid tells his mom Santa's drunk. Yeah, the kid sure looks in bad shape. What's interesting, the manager in this one, he's played in different roles. He was also in a original Star Trek episode. Oh, now he's telling Santa off. The cast for this was Art Carney, John Feeler, Robert P. Lebb, Val Avery, Meg Whitey, Kay Cousin, Brute Mustard, Andrea Magois, Jimmy Garrett, Dan Peterson, Matthew McHugh, and Lorraine Lane Gillespie. She was the young female elf there. But as I said, John Fielder, who's talking to Santa right now, getting ready to fire him, he's played in a lot of different things. But I remember the Star Trek episode, I don't remember the title offhand, where Scotty is accused of murder on this planet. That's right, you tell him, Santa. A little speech that Art's given the manager. You know, I was surprised that Rod never did like a Christmas story each season. That this was the only one I seen. Oh, this sad kids. Uh-oh. Talk about the manager getting hot under the collar. Oh, that sad face and that kid. But see, the parents and the kids don't want to hear about that. Probably the parents are saying, get Santa out. Get out, you bum! Now we're back on the street here. I like Art Carney. I think he's a pretty good actor. He's best known in The Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason. And I remember that one. I used to watch the reruns of Honeymooners when they aired it. Ah, time to go back for some more drinking. Everybody said, there's Santa Claus. Uh-oh, Santa's hearing sleigh bells. And this one you hear the song, The First Noel. But, getting back to Art Carney there. I like him as an actor. And as I mentioned, you know, he was in The Honeymooners, and he also appeared as Santa Claus in the CBS December 1970 hour-long Muppet special, The Great Santa Claus Switch. And in ABC's December 1984 television film, The Night They Saved Christmas. He's best remembered, of course, as I said, as Ed Norton on The Honeymooners. He received 6 Emmys and a Best Actor Oscar for 1974 Harry and Tonto. This was Art Carney, as I said, only twice in appearance. Santa found the bag. Now we're off here to the Oregon plane. The other homeless sitting there singing. Now, the old man that came through the door, I remember seeing him on Archie Bunker's All in the Family and some other shows, too. Yeah, like we believe that. Sister Florence, Meg Wiley. Oh, and here comes Santa Claus with some presents. It was interesting, too, that Carney appeared in one of the Playhouse 90 that Rod wrote on as well. Two years earlier, January 22nd, 1959, he starred in Rod's semi-autobiographical story, The Velvet Alley. The 8th of 10 that the teleplays he did feature on Playhouse 90. The most prestigious of many live dramas series from the golden age of television. Trying to be the old Irish cop. Had a little Irish in him. Uh-oh. They don't believe Santa's real. They believe he stole from the department store. Now he's leaving the mission. And talking with Planety about his situation. Uh-oh, the manager is there. I think maybe what hurts this episode is just the comedy aspect that, you know, some people feel that The Twilight Zone shouldn't have a comedy. It's supposed to be. Oh, sorry, I'm watching him pull out all these garbage out of the thing. The manager is. It's funny. As we hear from Rick Wall, who comes on the Talking Twilight Zone radio show, that he's mentioned that, you know, the Twilight Zone is a morality play, the stuff that Rods has written. You know, what's interesting about this, too, is this was one of the episodes that were remade when they brought The Twilight Zone back in 1985. And that was by the same name, Night of the Meek. And in that one, Richard Mulligan played Henry Corwin. It was in season one. It was episode 13 of the 1985 Twilight Zone series. It was the first segment of the 13 episodes from the first season, which was 85 to 1986. I believe that's the one that had the Grateful Dead music opening. But Rockne O'Bannon took Rod's story and I guess kind of fixed it up. The remake one aired December 20th, 1985. But as I said, Richard Morgan played Henry Corwin in that one. Oh no, the bag is empty. I don't know, with this story, I guess it could have been more. But I still like this. I mean, it's not a classic, unfortunately. It's too bad that I never made it as a classic. It would have been great. And then the older gentleman's sitting there and talking with Art Carney Santa. Asking what he wants. You know, it kind of reminds me of the 50s, 60s one where during Christmas time you have Red Skelton, he come out with a Christmas show, or you have Jack Benny came out with some Christmas shows, and it kind of has that old feel. But as I said, I felt that I could do better than this Santa right here. But also, you know what it reminds me later on is the Santa Claus movie with Tim Allen. And what's interesting is that was Tim Allen's first movie that he did. And it's not the only time where we see somebody take over for Santa. Maybe that's how Santa lives as long as he does, is that he goes from one person to another. Which is kind of interesting. Saint Nick, which had Kelsey Grammer in, he plays the son of Santa Claus, who later on he becomes Santa Claus. And it seems to be a thing that's handed down from person to person. As with the Santa Claus with Tim Allen mistakenly having Santa Claus die. He disappears and the suit's left, so he puts the suit on and he in return becomes Santa Claus. This is kind of a nice scene where he goes down the alley. We see the reindeers and the sled. But I bet you all the reindeers ain't there. Wonder how much it cost them to rent those reindeers. And here's the little elf talking. Well, help yourself into the sled. He can't believe she's there. Mm-hmm. It would have been neat if his outfit would have transformed into a new outfit. Oh, the manager's drunk now. Wow. Uh-oh, talking to the officer. Talking about his present of brandy wine. And in the distance, we hear the sleigh bells. Uh-oh, and they're astonished.
I thought I did. I don't think I ought to cut you into nothing. My report was to bring them on duty. It was Corwin, Mr. Dundee. Big as life. The sleigh with reindeer sitting next to an elf.
I wonder if the Twilight Zone, they would have had a way of doing kind of a Wonderful Life or even a Christmas Carol. It's interesting that the Twilight Zone never did two-parters. They only did one part, except for season 4 where they did an hour episodes. And now we hear Rod. As far as I know, this is Rod's first and only Christmas episode. Mightier Than the Meek. Night of the Meek. Directed by Jack Smart. I guess what the disappointment was, Night of the Meek, was it wasn't really that much Twilight Zone-y to people. It really isn't, when you think about it. And that's the end of Night of the Meek. It was okay. Like I said, it's not a classic, which is too bad that it never made it up to that. But, you know, it one of the ones I still look forward to every year, as with other Christmas shows that I usually watch. It's one of those ones that you really could only watch when it's Christmas time. It wouldn't be one I would rewatch, you know, all the time, just maybe when it's around Christmas. I want to thank everybody for listening to the commentary here, and be sure to tune in. There'll be another one I'll be doing called Time Enough at Last with Burgess Meredith. That'll be for the New Year one coming up. So again, thank you everybody for listening, and talk with you next time on the Twilight Zone commentaries. Goodbye, everybody.